The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated La'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school, the mitzvot.
Daf Chav Gimal.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Benyamin Ben Shoshana for the Refuah Shlema of Shlomo Ben Shoshana.
Today's daf has been dedicated to La'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. La'ilu Nishmat Mazal Bat Frida Sheneftered Bekitzur Yamin Veshanim. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah Shlema Chacham Avadya Yosef Ben Gurjia. Enna Refanado. Enna Refanado. Enna Refanado. Betok Shar Chole Amu Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's Gemara actually at the Mishnah on Chabet Amud Bet. That would be 7 lines from the bottom. Ha'ose sukato berosh ha'agala o berosh ha'sefina keshela ve'olin la biyom tov. So the first case is he makes his sukkah on top of a wagon. If you look in your picture books in the Ha'od ve'ahadar, it's picture number Lamed Tet. See, he has his the horses that are drawing the wagon. He puts the sukkah on the back over there, and that becomes his sukkah. So the Mishnah says that's keshera o berosh ha'sefina. It's the next picture. That's picture mem. You see, the guy makes the sukkah on top of a boat. Both cases, the Mishnah says keshera rashi afalgav demetaltela. Even though the sukkah moves, velo kibia. Even though it's not permanent, it's not stationary. Ubrosh sefina shu makom gavoa shu sefina. We're talking about where you put it on the high spot of the boat. Ve'ayam gavoa meod ve'en harim makifim. You're talking where the mountains are not blocking the wind. Ve'aruach sholetet sham ve'okrata. And the wind can come right away and blow the sukkah away. Keshera didirat aray sagiba. Which means like this, when Hashem says Dirat Arai Sagiba, even according to the Biyuda that says you need Dirat Keva, this would be considered enough Dirat Keva. Why? Because bottom line, like we learned in the other Dapim, according to the Biyuda, so long as when the Sukkah moves, the entire floor also moves with the Sukkah, which means the floor of the sukkah is moving also, so you're not changing the floor. In the case over there with the bed that we learned in the other daf, when you moved it, the Biyuda said, you move the sukkah, you're changing the floor each time you move, because it's you're changing the floor. Okay, that's already arai. This already is considered keva enough for the Yehuda that'll say, even though it has an arai to it, but it's keva enough to say that what? That it's going to be kashir, even according to that's what they want to say in Rashi. That he's not coming to say it's arai and difficult to be, that's going to be pasul. He's just saying that this type of arai would be kosher for the Yehuda, because even though it moves with its whole floor, and therefore that's more considered a keva fim. So that's the first two cases. And the Gemara will analyze them as we get into the Gemara. And it says you can go on them on Yom Tov. Now, there's no Hiddush on that. Since the second part of the Mishnah, we're going to learn some cases that you cannot go on to the Sukkah on Yom Tov. So we'll just put in the Resha, also Olina the Yom Tov. But the Hiddush is not in that. Next case, third line of the Mishnah. Berosha Ilan, right? That's picture number Mem Aleph. A guy made a Sukkah on top of a tree. Okay, that she says tiken moshavo berosho ve'asas sham mechisot b'schach. Right, you're not using the wall as your sukkah. You just constructed a four-wall sukkah with schach on the tree house. Or al gabe gamal. Or you put your sukkah on top of a camel. Okay, that would be picture membet. Right, in between the humps over there, he put a sukkah over there with schach. Keshera. So this sukkah is keshera. Ve'en odin la. And in that case over there, you cannot go on a tree on Yom Tov. Gezerah, the rabbis made that you might come to pull off a branch. Nor can you go off an animal on Yom Tov, because they worried that you might also pull up a branch in order to whip the animal in order to get it to go. So these chadush of the Mishnah is that even though these Sukkot are not valid for 7 days, because bottom line, you can't sit in these Sukkot on Yom Tov, you might think that a Sukkah has to be at least valid for a 7 day holiday. Kamashwan, no. Cholam Moed, you can go sit on these Sukkot. Now we go to the next case. Continuing the cases of Sukkot in trees. Shetayim Be'ilan. You have two of the walls of the Sukkah that are being supported by the tree. Ve'achad Bidi Adam. And one wall is being supported by itself. If you look in your picture books at Mem Gimal, you see the case over here. You have one wall, one side wall, goes all the way down. It's being supported on the ground. It starts on the tree and goes all its way down. It's being supported actually on the ground itself, which means if you take away the tree, that wall will stand by itself. However, the other walls of the Sukkah, they are resting on the stump of the tree itself. Of course, you have two walls. You have a side wall and a center wall that are both resting on the tree. And you have one side wall that's resting on the ground. So that would be the case of Shnayim Be'ilan Ve'had Bidei Adam. Or Shnayim Bidei Adam. That would be the next picture. Where you have two walls that are Bidei Adam. You have a side wall, let's say, that goes all the way down. And the center wall goes all the way down to the ground. That's resting on the floor. And the third wall is resting, as you see in the picture, the third wall is resting on the stump of the tree. Bachat Be'ilan. In both those cases, the Mishnah says, Kishera, the Sukkah is indeed Kishera. Ve'in Olin La B'Yom Tov. Again, but you cannot go up the Sukkah and Yom Tov, because you have to use the tree. And you can't use the tree. Now let's read the Rashi. Rashi Shtayim Be'ilan. Ve'achad bidei adam. Samach karkaita sukkah rubo be'ilan. Right, the majority of the sukkah, you're leaning it against the tree. Ve'asa siviva berosh ha'ilan shtem mechitzot. You made two walls. Ve'achat asa bidei adam ba'aris. One of the walls goes all the way down to the ground. Ve'samach ksat karkaita sukkah be'emsa adofen. And you put the, also the middle wall is resting also on the tree itself. V'gbiya adofen memenu lemal asara o shtayim bidei adam, or two bidei adam, that's just the middle wall and the side wall. V'achad be'ilan. So the din is ho'il ve'im yinate la'ilan. Here's the key why the Mishnah says what it says. If you're going to take away the tree, nofel karkait sukkah. If you take away the tree, the sukkah is going to fall apart. The floor is going to fall in. She'enu yachol la'amod b'smichat shtayim shiba'ar. It's not going to be able to stand just with the two that are resting on the ground. En odin la b'yom tov. That's the point. Why can't you go up it on Yom Tov? Because the tree is vital over here. The tree is holding up your sukkah. Without the tree, the sukkah falls apart. It is a kosher sukkah. You're allowed to use a tree for a sukkah. For walls, you have no problem. The walls of the sukkah can be made of whatever you want. Even though it's attached to the ground and all that stuff, doesn't matter. That's for schach, it's a psul. But for walls, you can use whatever you want. So from the sukkah standpoint, I don't care if you have two walls bidei adam and one wall from the on the tree. But Bama, since that wall is a supporting wall of the sukkah, it's considered you made a sukkah in a tree. And therefore, you can't go up on the tree on Yom Tov. Now, however, the last case of the Mishnah says, Shalosh bidei adam. If you have, let's say, three walls solid on the ground, Ve'achad be'ilan, and one of the walls is resting on the tree. If you look at the picture, you see in the Mem here. Right, you got three walls that are resting on the ground, and you have part of the sukkah is actually resting on the stump. Okay, let's say the it's like the floor of it is resting on the tree itself. But in this case, over, if you take away the tree, the sukkah will still stand. So therefore, it's not like, yeah, you can climb up on a ladder, let's say, up in a sukkah, so you have no problem. So therefore, it's not considered using a tree. So you can go up there on Yom Tov, and you have no problem. Okay? You see, Art Scroll also has a picture, at least in the Hebrew Art Scroll. They have a picture of what this these sukkot look like. Actually, the first case they have. Okay? Anyway, that's the deen of the Mishnah, Ve'olin La Be'yom Tov. Okay. Okay, of course you cannot go up the tree. You have to use a ladder to go up. The Hadush is that it's not considered using a tree on Yom Tov. You're sitting on the tree now, but I'm not using the tree now, because if you move the tree away, it will support. But the Mehidi points out, you can't use the tree. You have to use an alternate means to get up. Ze'aklal. And then Mishnah then gives us a rule for this. Kol shenita la'ilan. If the tree would be taken away, v'yichola la'amod b'fnei atzma, and the sukkah would be able to stand on its own, kesherah, the sukkah is kesherah, such case, ve'olin la be'yom tov, and you'll be able to go up that sukkah on Yom Tov. And now we begin the Gemara. Comes the Gemara and says, Mane Matnitin. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Which is, we said in the Mishnah that you can make a sukkah on a boat. So we want to know who's the author that will say that a sukkah on a boat is indeed kesherah. So that's the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva. It's following Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva. The Tanya, we have a Braita. Ha'oseh sukkato berosh ha-sefina. If a guy makes a sukkah on top of a boat, Rabban Gamliel posel. Rabban Gamliel says, no good. Pasuv, Rabbi Akiva, makshir. And Rabbi Akiva wants to say, no, it is indeed okay. The Gemara is going to explain the reasons. Ma'aseh berabban Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva. Story, Rabbi they were on a boat, it was on Sukkot. Amad Rabbi Akiva, the Asa Sukkah Berosh HaSefina. So Rabbi Akiva went, it was Chol HaMoed, he went, he put a boat on top of the boat. The Mefashi pointed out, he would have put it in a more safe place if he was able to. But there was no room, so he no problem, he put it right on top of the boat, exposed to the wind and all that. Doesn't matter, that's what he did. The Mahar Nashba Ruach Vakarta. The next day the wind came and blew the Sukkah away. Amar lo Rabban Gamliel. So Rabban Gamliel says, Akiva, hechan sukkatcha. He says, wait, what happened to your sukkah? As Rabban Gamliel held that his sukkah on a boat is besunah. So he thought, what happened to your sukkah? Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara explains. Amar Abaye says, Dechule Alma, everybody agrees, meaning Rabbi Akiva and Rabban Gamliel all agree that what? Hecha de'era yechola la'amot beruach misuyad yabasha la kilumi. If the sukkah cannot stand in normal winds that are on land, just the normal winds that happen on her land, if the sukkah can't even withstand that wind, everybody says that's not considered a kosher sukkah. She says, "Laf klumu de'afilu dirat arai lo havya." Minimally, a sukkah has to be a temporary structure, dwelling. If it can't stand even in a temporary, in a normal wind, it's not even considered dirat arai, and therefore it's going to be pasul. Yechola la'amod b'she'en ha'mitzuyad yabasha. If it can stand in, you know, not normal gusts, meaning above the normal winds on the dry land, kula alma lo pedigi de kesherah. Everybody's going to agree. What? It's kesherah. Now, as she points out, she'ena mitzuyad yabasha havi kiruach mitzuyad yam, which means the not normal or not prevalent winds on land is like the prevalent winds on the water, because the water always has stronger gusts. Okay, so the Gemara is saying, if it can stand in the extra winds of not normal winds, ruach she'ena mitzuyah. Now, not such a prevalent wind on land, which means it's the prevalent wind of the sea. Everybody will agree the sukkah is going to be kesherah. So what's the argument then? Ki peligi b'diyecholah la'amod beruach mitzuyad yabasha, ve'ena yachol lo'a la'amod beruach she'ena mitzuyad yabasha. Is that the Bach? Keep that in there? Okay. Beruach mitzuyad yam. Which is the same thing. Which means, we're talking about a case over here where the sukkah is able to stand on normal winds, land conditions. However, it cannot stand on normal sea conditions. Okay? So there we have the machlok. Rabbi Gamliel Sabar, Rabbi Gamliel says, Sukkah dirat keva ba'inan. As we learned above, that there were many rabbis that held that sukkah has to be a permanent structure. Rabbi Gamliel was one of those opinions. He says, sukkah has got to be a permanent structure. Since it cannot stand in the normal winds in the place where you put it, in the yam, it's not going to be considered a good sukkah. However, Rabbi Akiva says, sukkah dirat arai ba'inan. Listen, sukkah has got to be a temporary structure. Bottom line, it can stand under normal winds of the yabasha. That's arai enough, even though you didn't put it on the yabasha, you put it on the yam. But bottom line, this structure has permanency enough to withstand, let's say, the winds of yabasha. Therefore, it's going to be kasher. Let's read Rashi to understand this. Rashi says, fourth line, yichola la'amod beruach she'ena mesuya. The yabasha, dainu ruach mitzuyad yam. Right? A non-prevalent wind on land is equal to a prevalent wind on the waters. Everybody will agree. It's okay. Dechul alma afagav deina omedet biruach sheina mitzriyad yam. Even though it cannot stand in a not normal wind of the yam, everybody agrees you don't got to go that far. Which means as long as it can stand on a normal wind of the sea, you're okay. Da'afilu lemad debaris surat dirat keva ha'ika, which means even the opinion says you need sukkah dirat keva. Keva means you can stand in the normal winds of the yam. You don't have to stand in the gust winds of yam. That's already too much. Right? That he doesn't say you have to go that far. Everybody agrees if you can stand in the normal winds of the yam, it's okay. Now, and then what? The machlokan is going to be somewhere in between. Where you can stand on the normal winds of yabasha, but not of yam. The biakra is still going to say, you're okay. What? It doesn't have to be dirat keva. Dirat arai. This is indeed a dirat arai. That's why he put a sukkah up. Happened to be the wind blew it away, but that doesn't matter. Bottom line, he held the sukkah. God was Kishara at the time that he built it. Okay, so that's the machloket of building the sukkah on the boat. Okay. Comes the Gemara and continues. Next case. O al gabe gamal. Okay, so we said you're making the sukkah on top of the camel, on top of the animal. Okay, we said the Mishnah, it is Kishara. So comes the Gemara and says, Matnitin Mani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Meir. It's not Rabbi Meir. Why? Detanya ha'ose sukato al gabe behema. A guy builds the sukkah on top of a behema. Rabbi Meir makshir. The Rabbi Yehuda posel. Okay, there you go. There's the machloket. My ta'amad Rabbi Yehuda. What's the last Rabbi Yehuda? Watch Rabbi Yehuda say it's pasul. What's the matter? It's 100% kosher sukkah. It's got four walls, it's got schach. So Amar kera haga sukkah ta'aseh lecha shiva'at yamim. So you got to make a sukkah for 7 days. Sukkah ha-reuya l'shiva'ah. Sheme sukkah. Sukkah she'en ha-reuya l'shiva'ah. La sheme sukkah. Which means, once the rabbi is now made a gezerah, that you can't go on an animal on Yom Tov. So this is not a 7 day sukkah. You cannot go in this animal on Yom Tov. Therefore it's a 6 day sukkah. Now granted, even though it's only midrabanan, the bottom line, once the rabbis instituted their law, bottom line, it's not fulfilling the Torah's law anymore. It's not a sukkah of 7 days. Which is when you build a sukkah, you got to be able to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. You cannot sit in the sukkah for 7 days. Therefore it's pasul. Rabbi Meir sabah, Rabbi Meir. Which means, Rabbi means, what do you want? Minat Torah, this sukkah is kishira. It's not for 7 days. Minat Torah, you can go on Yom Tov on the sukkah. You know, the rabbis came along and they said what? Gizra, you can't go. But that's not going to take the sukkah out of its kashrut. Which means you don't have a Torah psul over here. Minat Torah, the sukkah is a 7 day sukkah. So really that's the machloket. Does the rabbinical decree take it out of the Torah's statement of Shiva'at Yamim? According to Yehuda, yeah. Bottom line, you can't sit it for 7 days. I don't care, rabbinical, doraita, you can't sit for 7 days, it's pasul. According to Rabbi Meir, what do you want? Minat Torah, go sit it on the holiday. I mean, you can't. That doesn't take it out of the kashu for the rest of the 6 days. Therefore, it's going to be kashir. Dashi, hare'uyin l'shiva'a, v'hashti gazur banan en odin lad nemsit she'en ha'ruya le'yom rishon. Okay, now we go to the next case. The next case is asa'a l'behema dofin l'sukkah. Let's say you use an animal for one of the walls of the sukkah. Oh. You see the picture books over here in Mem Vav? You see they used a cow. They put a cow over there, live cow. And they put it blocking one of the airspaces over there as a wall. So the she'elah is, can you use a live animal as a wall for the sukkah? So comes again what God says, we actually have a machloket on this. Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Meir says pasul, Rabbi Yehuda mechshir, and Rabbi Yehuda says kasher. Now, huh? Yeah, the switches. So now we have to understand what the logic is over here. Shaya Rabbi Meir omer, Rabbi Meir says, kol davar sheyesh bo ruach hayim, any item that has life, en osin oto, you cannot use it for the following items. Lo dofin lesukah, velo lechi lemavui. Remember, we have the case of the mavui, right? You have the alley; it's opened up to where the shoe to the beam. So, according to the rabbis, you need to make an adjustment. You need to make a lechi, like a vertical pole standing next to the entrance. So, you can't use an animal. Like you look at your picture books, Mem Zayin. You can't use the animal standing there at the entrance as a lehi to kosher up your mavui. Velo pasin the bidaot. Remember, we learned the pasuk at Arubin that when you have a well in the Reshut Rabin, so the rabbis were lenient to make L-shaped posts, pasay bidaot, around the bor, in order to enclose it, to make it the Reshut HaYachid, so the guys can go up to the holiday, they can go and draw water from these wells on Shabbat, that can be considered carry. So the Hiddush is, you can't use, let's say you have one of the one half of the pasay bidaot, right? You have the one pass, you have one, let's say, going north-south, right? So you want to put the animal now east-west, right, to finish up your L, right, for your pas bidaot. Says no, you cannot use a pas bidaot. That's not not good either. Velo golel la kever. Golel la kever is like a cover for the kever, for the man. You want to cover a tombstone. You want to, that's really a tombstone. It's really a cover of the coffin. You cannot use that as well. Now let's read Rashi for a second just to catch up on these cases. Velo pasin the bidaot, detnan be'arubin, osin pasin the bidaot. Bidaot is a bor, a well. Arba diyumadin, right? Diyumadin is diyumadin, two amudim, like two brackets, like L shapes. The bor shemushut rabim ve'abor amok asara. The bor is 10 tefachim deep. Ve'avi reshut yachid ve'en yakol lemalot b'mena. You cannot draw from it because you're going from the reshut yachid to the reshut rabim. Ela imken mukaf b'chitzot, you need walls. Umepeneh behemot oler galim, because the animals of the oler galim, of the pilgrims that are going up to Yerushalayim, they need water. So what the rabbis do? Hetiru b'chitzot b'arba'ah diyumadin arba peot. Okay, just put these four L brackets on all four sides of the bor, and you're okay. You can't make it, use an animal for one of these rackets. They made the cover of the coffin out of the animal. They use the animal. It's not called the golel. It's not a cover. Because normally a golel becomes tameh. If you touch the golel, you become tameh. Kamash manan, this animal is not a golel. And if you touch that animal that's on top of the mat, it's not in yanaf tumah. Behold, Tanya, al pene asadil rabot golel vedofek. Right? I learned that from a pesukim. Gemara continues. Mishum Rabbi Yosi Gileli amru. But in the name of Rabbi Yosi Gileli, they said af en kotvin alaf kite nashim. You cannot write a get to a wife, to a lady on this. She's have leather, right? So the guy wants to write on the hide of the animal, harezu gitech, whatever it is, and then give the animal to the lady. No, you cannot write gitech nashim on this item. So now we can understand the logic. My ta'amad Rabbi Meir. What's the logic? Why Rabbi Meir says all these cases are not valid? Rabbi says sheme tamut. You're worried that all these cases, what's going to happen? The animal is going to die. Now what's going to happen if the animal dies? Let's go to the case of the wall, of the sukkah. The animal dies, so it falls. So now you don't have a wall anymore, because it's not tentifying. So therefore, in the event that it dies, you lost your thing. Same thing with the paseh bidaot. Same thing with the lehi for your eruv. Right. Remember, if the thing dies, you're not going to have a lehi. She says, Gezera shemetamut, abehema biyom tov, v'tepol v'en kandofen. That's going to fall. You're not going to have a wall for your sukkah. V'nimsem batem v'zat sukkah. The guy's going to be sitting in the sukkah, and all of a sudden he got no wall. Okay, but the parik golel the kolai my tama. The Gemara's going to ask, the golel, what's the problem? So it dies. What's the difference? Let it be a cover. So comes the Gemara and says, that's the reason of Abaye. Sheme tamut. Rabbi Zira Amar, sheme tibrach. He's got a different thing. Maybe the animal's going to run away. Which means you're putting a live animal next to the sukkah, all of a sudden the animal walks away, and that's you can go to wall, or by the mavui. The animal walks away, or the animal walks away. You're talking about a live animal over here. So we have a machloket gedola between Abaye and the Bizera. What's the psul of an animal? Is it shemme tamut, or is it shemme tibrach? Nafka mina. So the Gemara says, bepil kashur, if you have, let's say, an elephant, okay, that's actually tied to the sukkah. You don't have a picture in the book. You have an elephant that's tied to the wall of the sukkah. Kule alma lo perigi. No argument. Well, number one, de'i name mayit. Even if it dies, Yesh benivlato asara. It's still ten tefachim high because it's giant, the elephant. So even if it crouches down and dies, doesn't matter. It's still ten tefachim, so the wall's going to be okay. And we're not worried about running away because you tied it to the wall. So everybody agrees by a tied elephant by the wall, it's going to be a kasher sukkah. Now, let's see. Kashur, the leka the mehash shemet vrah. You're not worried that it's going to run away. The chula alma ben abaye ben Rabbi Zera makshir. How can it be meir? Everybody's going to hold the meir is going to hold that case over there is good. Okay. So now we get because Rabbi Meir normally is the posel, but in this case, why is he posel? Either because it's going to run away or die. But even if Bimir will agree by a tied up elephant against one of the walls, there's no problem. What could happen? It's going to die, let it die. Stop. It's going to run away, it can't run away. We're talking about, obviously, you have to say, it's a good point you're saying, you have to say that it's not a diras ruha. You have to say it's not going to call it a terrible smell to the sukkah. Because then we said it's a diras ruha, then the sukkah is pasul. Right. Okay, good point. So now, comes the Gemara and says, so what's the case? Kulamu no peligi. Ki peligi. You know what the argument is? Bepil sheno kashur. You have nafka mina in the case where, let's say, the elephant is not tied to the wall. Lemad about shemit tamut lo hashinan. According to the opinion of Abaye, that said maybe it's going to die, but I'm not worried about it. So let it die. Let it die. Even if it dies, you still have 10 tefachim. However, lemad about gizra shemit tevra hashinan. But according to the opinion that says you're worried about run away, it might run away still. So therefore, you have enough kamina between Abaye's reason and the Bizira's reason. A not tied elephant against one of the walls. If you say maybe it's going to die, in this case, let it die. I'm not worried because stuff tend to die. Of course, they're running away. It still has a chance to run away. So comes the Gemara and says, Leman de Amar Gizira Shemetemut. According to Abaye, your Gizira was what that you're worried. That's talking about maybe it's going to die. Nirush Shemetemut. Tibrach. Why did you also suspect? I mean, I say a more common scenario. It might run away. I mean, there's bigger odds it's going to run away, it's going to die. So how come he doesn't suspect to that? So the Gemara says, fine. Ela bepil she'eno kashur. If you have an elephant that's not tied up to the sukkah, kula alma lo peligi. Everybody's going to say it's pasul. Why? Because it might run away, which is even according to the opinion of Abaye. That says Shema Yamut. He also agrees that what Shema Yivrach. Now it's called Shekin. If you hold Shema Yamut, called Shekin, you got to suspect to Shema Yivrach. So an elephant that's not tied down but die, according to everybody, is going to be pasul. Why? Because you're worried it might run away. Okay. Ki peligi bebehema keshura. Where's the machloket Abaye and Rabbi Zera? But why not an elephant? By a regular animal that's tied to the sukkah. Leman de Amar Gezira Shemetamut. According to the opinion that says Shemetamut Hashinan. Because what's going to happen when the animal dies? It crouches down, right? It falls to the floor. Regular animal's not going to have ten tefachim. So if you suspect the Shemetamut, you're going to lose your sukkah. Leman de Amar Gezira Shemetavra. No Hashinan. When you say Shemetavra, it's tied to the sukkah. So that's Nafkamina. Nafkamina between Abayin and the Bezira is an animal that's tied to the sukkah, and that's going to make a difference in the reasons. Okay? Tanat Gemara says, "Vulmad damar gezeras shematevrach." So you tell me, the gezeras what? It might run away. Nihush shematamut. How come he doesn't say you have a suspicion that what? That the animal might die? Which means when you say it's tied up, now you tie the animal up, and the gezeras is going to say sukkah's kosher. Why? Can't run away. Yeah, but maybe it's going to die. And if it dies, you're going to lose your height of the sukkah. That Gemara says, mitah lo shchiha. Mitah is not prevalent. We don't suspect the mitah. That's a far-fetched situation. Rabbi Meir lo pasil. She says, mitah lo shchiha. And therefore, even Rabbi Meir lo pasil. So that's the reason why Rabbi Zera does not say mitah. He says, even Rabbi Meir is not going to choshesh for mitah. What's Rabbi Meir choshesh for? Running away. So therefore, if you tie the animal to the sukkah, you absolve yourself of the problem. I might die, or not just to mitah. Oh, the Gemara has another question now. You have airspace between, let's say, the front legs of the animal to the back legs of the animal, and from the under the animal's stomach to the floor, which means you have more than three tefachim. Now we know if you have more than three tefachim, so it's not a sukkah, which means the wall has to go all the way down. Right? Now, the wall is your cow, let's say, okay? So it's going to go to the end of the stomach of the cow. From the end of the stomach of the cow to the floor is more than three tefachim. And also, it's going to have more than three tefachim going across, meaning from the front legs to the back legs is also three tefachim. So you have three tefachim long, three tefachim in the height. So there's no lavud. So therefore, you don't have a wall over here. So how could you say it's kosher? Look at Rashi. Vayikar avha. The bene kar'e. She pirtzav afilu kishi chaya. Even when it's alive, you still have a problem. I don't care if you tied it down. You're still going to have a problem. How can you say it's kasher? Even if it doesn't run away. Bottom line, it's not a wall. It's not a kosher wall. So to that, the Gemara says, no, we'll give you the answer to that. De'avid le behutza v'dafna. You filled up the space over there with hutzah v'dafna, with branches, with leaves. If you look in your you're filling the hollow cavity, exactly. I don't have the picture over here. Okay, yeah, we have the picture over here. Yeah, if you look closer, picture number mem tet, you see they put some green leaves under the animal's stomach over there to fill it up. So now you have no problem of an airspace of three tefachim, you know, between the animal and the floor. That's the only case it's going to be a problem. Okay, so now the Gemara has a question. Gemara asks, see on the, okay, so Tanat the Gemara asks, Vidilma Rav'a. You're not worried it's going to die, but maybe it's going to be Rav'a, maybe it's going to crouch. Now if it crouches, you're also going to now lose your 10 tefachim. Dying, you're not suspecting, but the animal crouches. In the event that the animal crouches, you're going to lose the shi'ur on top. It's not going to be 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, "Dimitiha be'ashle mile'il." You have to say, we're talking about when you tie the animal, you're holding it from above. Which means, in your picture number mem tet, you put ropes from the top of the sukkah, from the top underneath the animal's stomach, so therefore, like a crane, exactly. So even if it wants to crouch, it can't crouch. Therefore, it's locked into the wall over there. So that's the only case going to be kashir. You have to stuff the bottom with tzchach. You have to crane it from the top, put the ropes underneath it. So just in case it wants to crouch, it can't crouch. So it's solving all these issues. Look at Rashi. Behutza. As according to yeah, if you want to use you have no choice because you got to worry about all these suspicions over here. So again, behutza v'dafna, shemid rashi, hutza v'dafna, hutza lulabed dekel, hutza is the palm leaves, dafna and fe'etz, that's the branches. Okay, just giving you the perush of the words. Riba roveset, and it might roveset might crouch. Ashle habalim, okay, ropes. So comes the Gemara and says, hold it. If that's what you're doing, Ulman de Amar Gizirah Shemetemut. Now, go to Abayir. You're worried that what? The animal's going to die? Hold it. Once you just told me that you're craning it up with these ropes, let it die. It can't fall. Nameha Metiha Be'ashle Mile'el. That's because you're holding it from the top. So what's your suspicion? So the Gemara says, oh, the suspicion is like this. Zimnin demokim befachot meshlosha samuch leschach. We're worried over here that you're going to have exactly a ten tefachim wall, and the animal's head is, let's say, 2.9 tefachim to the schach. So at that point, you could say lavud. But what are you worried about? When he dies, his head's going to crouch down, even a drop. Right? And that's going to make it three tefachim. Now you're going to have lavud, and therefore you have a problem with the... according to the opinion that says you're not worried about dying. Not worried about dying. What am I worried about? Crouching. Crouch, I solved that problem over there. I'm holding the animal over there. But I'm worried... No good achim. You have to know the klalim over here. If I have more than three from the back of the animal, the head of the animal, I can't go up. I don't have lavud. So therefore, I'm concerned, what? That the animal might die in a case of a perfect, not a perfect, but a minimum sukkah. Look at Rashi. Zimnin demukila pachot migimal. Watch Rashi. Pe'amim. She'em begova shel be'ema ila shiv'a umashu. Let's say the animal is exactly 7 and a mashu. That's the case, 7 and a mashu, and you have 2.9 from his head to the schach. That'll be okay. The sukkah asara. Normally I can say, well, 7 and a whatever change to the top is navud. But once it dies, what's going to happen? The Gemara says, v'chevan demaita, when it dies, chavsa. Chavsa meaning it crouches a little. She says, mitma'et, it becomes smaller. That shrinks. V'avilera, she says, shelosha ubatil li lavud, ve'en kan dofen. And what's the problem? Lava da'te. The point is, she says, at that point, get out of the sukkah. Well, v'lava da'te, you're not going to realize it. But this guy sitting in the sukkah, he looks at the wall, he sees the animal there. Does he know that it's more than 3 tefachim and all that? He's not going to be aware of what happened. So for this case, Rabbi Meir was posel according to Abaye. Which is, in all of the cases, really, you shouldn't have a problem. The case you have to worry about is this case where it's a perfect sukkah, minimum sukkah. The animal is tied up and all that, and the animal's 7 and change, and the only concern is it might die at that point, therefore it's going to shrink, and therefore your sukkah is going to be pasul, you're not going to realize it. For that case, Rabbi Meir said, tie his head. I guess that's not an option to tie his head. You get sar bala haim if you tie his head. Is it? I don't know. I'm not a cow. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Umi Amar Abaye. Now we go. Gemara goes on a different point now. Bottom line, Abaye, you're the one that says that the reason for the bimeir is what? Hayish lemita. You suspect for mita. That's the bimeir, right? And the biyuda obviously is not choshesh lemita. That's the way Abaye explained the machloket. So the Gemara says, "Umi amar Abaye, Rabbi Meir hayish lemita, but Rabbi Yehuda lo hayish." Did Abaye say such a thing that Rabbi Meir is choshesh lemita and the biyuda is not choshesh lemita? I bring you a contradiction. Vatenan, we learned in a mishnah. We had this mishnah actually, but this is mishnah in Gittin. Bat Yisrael sheniseit lakohen. Okay, you have a lady, she's Yisrael, she's married to a Kohen. Now, so long as she's married to the Kohen, she's allowed to eat Terumah. Okay, just like the husband, the Kohen can eat Terumah. Once she's married to the Kohen, she becomes like a Kohenet, and she can eat Terumah as well. The halach ba'ala l'medinat hayam. Now, her husband went on a business trip overseas. Now, as long as he's alive, she can eat. If she has no children, and the husband dies, and she has no children, she goes back to her father's house, and she cannot eat Terumah. So now the question is, when the husband goes on a business trip, you don't know if he's alive or not. Can she still eat terumah in the interim? So the Gemara says over there, Mishnah says, Ochel b'terumah. She can continue eating terumah. Why? Be'ezkat shehu kayam. You assume that what? He's alive. He left, he was alive. Why do you have to assume he's dead? Therefore, she can still eat. But the Gemara has a question on that Mishnah. Hare ze gitech sha'a ahad kodem mitati asura le'echol b'terumah miyad. What did the husband do? The husband went to his wife and he says like this, I'm giving you this get right now, but it's not going to take effect. Only 1 second before I die, the get takes effect. Now, what is he trying to do over here? He wants this lady, his wife, not to be falling into the subject of yibum, which means like this. What's going to happen now? She has no children, okay? If he's going to die now, right? She never divorced. The law is now, she has to go marry the brother. And if she doesn't want to marry the brother, then you have to go through the whole process of halitza and etc. So therefore, how do you get around that problem? So what he does is he divorces her, but he doesn't want to divorce her. He's married to her. So what he says is, listen, this is a conditional get. This get over here, I'm giving it to now, but it doesn't take effect until 1 second before I die. So you might die 50 years from now. But the point is, 1 second before the Shahat of Midah, this get is activated, so therefore she was divorced 1 second before he died, and you have to give a get from when he's alive, and therefore she's divorced, therefore she doesn't fall to the brother, she doesn't fall to anything. So that's what you're gaining over here. Also, the Gemara says, but in that case, she can't eat terumah for the rest of her life now. Why? No, she cannot eat terumah for the rest. No, she's not divorced. She's not, because every minute he might die. So therefore, since he might die, you have to say that maybe the get is hal at the second, and therefore she's not married to a Kohen, she has no children, therefore she can't eat. So you have a stira. Make up your mind. Are you choshesh kemita? Iraq was just Shrita. When the husband went away in a business trip, Midatayam, you said, no, Heskat Chai. Then you tell me over here what, when he gives the get, on condition, from that point on, she's Asura for the rest of her life at the Ruma. Why? Because she assumed any second, he's going to die. How do you answer? So to that, the Gemara says, V'amar Abaye. Abaye is the one in Gittin that answered this contradiction. He said, Lakasha, how to be Mehid, the highest Lemita, how to be Yehuda, the highest Lemita. Abaye said the exact opposite. He said, one, the Mishnah that says no problem when he goes away on a business trip, that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir does not suspect that the guy's going to die. And the Mishnah that said it's a problem, that's Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean? Abaye, you yourself, by Sukkah, by the animals, you were the one that said that Rabbi Meir is Hoshesh for Mita, and Rabbi Yehuda is not Hoshesh for Mita. Now by Gittin, you flipped it. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi just to catch the cases. Harezik Yitech, third line. Right, he's worried that he shouldn't die suddenly. And now his wife is going to have to fall to halitza, and the brother, and they're going to have to get there's the process. Ve'noten la get kishu bari, ve'omer la get ze yeh legarshecha sha'a achat kodem mitati. Right, this get is activated 1 second before I die. Okay, asura lechol b'truma miyad. Why? Im hu kohen, the Israelite, and they have no children, the shemezu hi asha'a shekodem mitato. Maybe that's the second before mita. Maybe he's going to die the next second. And therefore what? Varehu migureshet. Okay? Varehu migureshet memenu. Alma mita shkiha v'hayshinana. And therefore you are going to suspect. And how did Abaye answer? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir is not Hoshesh to Mita, Rabbi Yehuda is. And what's Abaye's proof that Rabbi Meir holds like this? So he goes, Gemara goes on further. The Tanya, we learned in the Braita, and we learned this Braita. The Braita says, a guy bought wine from the Kutim. Now, before the rabbis made a gezerah against the wine of Kutim, Kutim are these quasi-converts over here. The rabbis didn't make a gezerah until later on, so he was allowed to, it's not Yai Nisik. The guy was allowed to buy Stam Goyim. It was not Stam Yanam. He could buy the wine. Okay, now what? The problem is they didn't give their terumot and Masrot. You gotta give terumah 2% to the Kohen, you gotta give 10% to the Levi, and you gotta take another 10% Masir Sheni. So what are you doing now? So it says, okay, Yain ben Akutim. Now, he got the wine on Friday night, Shabbat. Now, you're not allowed to take Terumot and Masrot on Shabbat, but he wants to drink the wine. So what does he do? Omer, he says like this, Shene lugin she'ani atid lafrish harehen terumah. He says, you have 100 log, let's say, right? So you got to take 2%, 2 log terumah. Where is it? It's in there. Which means, I'm going to drink. Whatever's left over at the end, those two log are considered terumah. That's using the concept of berera. Berera is retroactive selection. Which is, I say, retroactively, I say the stuff that I didn't drink, that was the terumah that I designated from the beginning. Okay, so I got my 2 log for terumah. So now I got, what do I have left? I have 98 left over, right? Asara ma'aseh rishon. Then you got to take 10. Tosfot pointed out above, it's really 9.8, but the point is 10, rounding it off, that would be Maaser Rishon for Levi. That way, the 10 that's left over as well, that goes to the Levi. Now, you got to take Maaser Sheni now. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had the 98, now you have the 89, so technically you got to take another 8.9, so it says over Tisha Maaser Sheni. Rounding off again. 9 Maaser Sheni. Now, I can't give the Terumah to the Kohen yet. Right, so the terumah is in there. I can't give the maaser rishon to Levi yet. It's in there. Now my maaser sheni is in there also, but I could fix the maaser sheni by saying what? Umehal veshote miyad. What does mehal mean? I'm able to be mehalel. I'm able to say like this: the maaser sheni that's in there, you're allowed to take the kedusha maaser sheni and transfer to a coin. Okay, so I could say, and the kedusha of the maaser sheni that's in there, let it go on the coin that's in my drawer. So what do you gain by that? Solve as much as you can without putting yourself into problems. I can't fix the terumah more than this, what I did. I can't fix the ma'aser sheni, but at least get rid of the ma'aser sheni out of this mixture over here. Transfer it to the coin. And you take the coin up to Yerushalayim and you buy food. Okay? And then you drink it immediately. Okay? Now, the logic of Rabbi Meir, as she says, look at the bottom. Veshote miyad. Actually, let's read the whole thing. Omer, Shne Lugin Shani Atid Afrish, Mina Me'a, the Truma. הרי שם תרומה קרוי עליהם בתוכו, וכון שהגיע ליל שבת. אוקיי, שפר אינה, רק בזה שבת. או, אין עמו כלים תאורים נפלישו לתוכו, or you don't have vessels to pour the terumah into. You don't have a pure vessel to pour the 2% of terumah into. So you want to keep it in the same jug of the wine. Terumah ma'aser. Behaitin aket kutim ashmein the geru'in and ma'ameh ha'aris. It's saying the kutim, why did you pick a kutim? Why did you pick a case of ma'ameh ha'aris? So it's said because they're worse. Ve'alokeh men sarich la'aser vaday. Normally when you buy from a ma'ameh ha'aris, you have to take ma'aser misafik. Because we don't know if the Amar took Maaser, but the Kuti for sure didn't take Maaser. So yeah, but die. Okay, they might. Va'af al gav, va'af al truman yashidu. Fine. Umechal, and you transfer, or you mechalel, you poder, you redeem. Umaaser shini shu yachol lechalelo, but since he can redeem it, mechalelo betochu amaot sheish to betoch beto. Good. Veshotem yad, vesamchinan aberera. But you rely on retroactive selection. Right, when he comes home, he finishes, he'll take that flesh. Which is, whatever's left over, this is my ma'asir, and I say this is my terumah. And you can drink it immediately. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Oslin. Why are they Osir? So that's she. We're worried in the interim, the jug might fall and break. Now what's going to happen? You ended up drinking without giving your terumot and ma'aslot. Once it breaks, you didn't give your terumot and ma'aslot. So they suspect, far-fetched suspicion, but that the item might break before you give your terumot ma'aslot. Lashi, v'nimsu shote tevalim. The ending of drinking tevel. Untithed wine. Alma, Rabbi Yehuda hayish lebikiat anod vechol sheken lemitat adam, which means she's telling you it's a kol sheken. If you suspect to bikiat anod, which I guess is in your control, right, which you can control the nod, you can protect it, you can watch it, and still with all you're protecting, you still choshish can break. Kol sheken, a human life, where it's out of your control, the human life. If you're suspecting for something you can control, so kol sheken something you can't control. So therefore, you see again what. You see, the Biyuda is the one that's choshesh for Bikiyata, and he's choshesh for the Mita. And this is Abaye, by the way, saying all this. He's proving you. And it's me that says, drink the wine, Miyad. You're not worried about it spilling, breaking. And therefore, he's not choshesh for Mita. So Abaye, you're giving us an answer by Sukkah that's contradictory to your own opinion in the Biyuda and Rabbi Meir. So Terah, the Gemara says, Ipuch. Ipuch, you have to switch the shitot around by the case of the terumah over here. You have to switch the opinion. And what? Rabbi Meir hayesh lemita, Rabbi Yehuda lo hayesh lemita. Okay, switch it. Look at Rashi. Ipuch, third line. Lo shaninu abaye kedeka amart, which means you didn't learn abaye the right way. Ela ipcha shaninu abaye had lo hayesh Rabbi Yehuda. והעד חייש רבי מאיר, ולאו מה לוקח יין שאינו אבייה, אלא מהק דסוכד רבי יהודה לא חייש רבי מאיר, which means, the Gemara is going to come along and say, you learned it wrong. We're going to go back and show you Abaye from a different case. It's going to show you that Rabbi Meir really is the Hoshesh for Mita, and Rabbi Yehuda is not. And then once you get that, then you go back to the Yayin case, and you'll be able to learn each Shita respective. So the Gemara is really answering that Abaye is right. Abaye is not a contradictory. Really, Rabbi Meir is the one that suspects of Mita, and Rabbi Yehuda is not. And now tomorrow, in the Gedaf, we'll have to reconcile all the different opinions. For the benefit of our listeners to Masechet Sukkah, we are referring to several books when we refer to illustrations and pictures. One of them is Hamma'or Hamivu'ar, that is the picture book on Masechet Sukkah, and also a new book called Ha'od Ve'ha'hadar. So we will refer to it on the tapes and in the audio. We'll refer to both of those books, and as well Perush Hai on Masechet Sukkah.